So, good afternoon and thank you very much to the organizers. So I'm going to talk about the quantization of instant Rosenwald coupled with matter. That it's a work that I have done with collaboration with Fernando Barbero and Eduardo Villaseñor in the Instituto Estructura de la Materia in Physics in Madrid. So the summary of the talk is going to be divided into parts. First of all, I will sketch the classical treatment of the system. So I will introduce the model, then sketch the symmetric reaction in order to arrive to the Hamiltonian formalism and to the classical equations of motion of the system. Then I will make the canonical quantization on it. And now, in order to obtain geometrical information on quantum spacetime, it's useful to have some objects with direct physical interpretation, such as the two-point function or radial wave functions with interpretation in the position space using states analogous to the Newton-Wigner states. We'll finish with some conclusions. So the model is the Einstein-Rosen-Weyl coupled with a massless scalar field. Specifically, they are solutions of general relativity coupled to a massless scalar field with two commuting space-like hypersurface orthogonal Killing vector fields, one translational along the axis of symmetry and the other one rotational. So we have indeed a cylindrical symmetry. The twist of the system is going to be zero. So the equations for the Gerov reaction, they are going to be much simpler. So our starting point is going to be the four-dimensional action, where we recognize the Einstein-Hilbert term here and the term for the massless scalar field. And here, this is just the boundary terms needed in order to have a well-defined variational principle. So the main characteristics of our system is that we have a reduced system but has an infinite number of degrees of freedom and conserve radial diffeomorphism invariants. It's possible to quantize it exactly taking into account back reaction, and we have an external field in order to study quantum geometry. So I'm going to sketch the symmetry reaction very quickly. After doing a Gerov reaction and a conformal transformation of the metric, we arrive to an equivalent action in 2 plus 1 dimensions. We recognize here the Einstein-Hilbert term, and here two terms corresponding to two scalar fields. One of them is the reaction of the external field, and the other one, the phi g, is defined as the logarithm of the norm of the Killing vector field in the translational in the translational axis. So somehow this field, this gravitational field, encodes the number of degrees of freedom of the metric in four dimensions. The other thing that is important here is that these two terms has the same form. So this simplifies the Hamiltonian formalism. The other thing that we can notice here is that they are coupled, although we don't have cross terms, they are coupled through the metric here. Okay, so because of the same form that has these two terms in the action, it's possible to make the Hamiltonian formalism in the same way as Asteca and Pierre did for the case without matter. So we look for solution asymptotically flat in 2 plus 1 dimensions, and we choose a preferred foliation in order to have our temporal vector field to be a Killing at infinity. So after gauge fixing and solving the constraints, we arrive to the reduced phase space formed by these two fields and their conjugate momenta. The Hamiltonian of our system is going to be given by the boundary terms in the action, and it has this form, where this H0 is the Hamiltonian of two free axially symmetric scalar fields in 2 plus 1 dimensions. We can observe that this physical Hamiltonian is a function, is a non-trivial and bounded function of this free Hamiltonian. The equation of motion of the system has this form, and we see that a priori they are an integral differential system of equations that has a difficult solution, but we can notice that its H0 is a constant of motion for its classical solution. So for each classical solution, we can define a change in the time variable that decouples the equation, and we obtain these two equations that are the two free equations for two free massless axially symmetric scalar fields in 2 plus 1 dimensions. Now, after solving the system classically exactly, we can make the canonical quantization on it. So we associate one focus space to each of the sectors, one for the gravitational field and the other one for the scalar field. And we define our Hilbert space as the tensor product of these two focus spaces. We have, of course, the creation and elision operators in each of the sectors, and we can define the generalized creation and elision operators in the full Hilbert space. With them, we have our field operator and its conjugate momenta. This Bessel function comes from the cylindrical symmetry, as is usual, and they satisfy the usual commutation relations. The algebraic vacuum state of the system is going to be this one that is formed as the tensor product of the two vacuum states of the two sectors. With the creation operator acting on the vacuum, it's possible to create states with a definite number of quanta of one of the type or the other type. So with these operators, it's possible to obtain the quantum Hamiltonian of the system that has this form. And as in the classical case, it's a nonlinear unbounded function of the sum of two free Hamiltonians. The one corresponding to the one field, to the gravitational field, and the other one corresponding to the external field. It's an observable of the system, indeed it's the energy of the system, and we have that the state that most closely resembles the Minkowski metric, the quantum analog, if we can speak in these terms, of the Minkowski metric is this vacuum state. So we have a time-independent Hamiltonian, so our evolution operator is given in that way. We have the evolution operator exactly, and we see that there is no conversion of quanta of one time into the other, and there is no creation, no destruction of particles with the evolution. So the number of quanta is going to be, of each type, is going to be constant under evolution. Of course, this evolution operator defines the S matrix of the system, just taking times to infinity. And I want to remark that although we are in an interacting theory, the solution is exact, it's non-perturbative. We see how a characteristic length of the system appears here that plays the role of the Planck length of the system. So it's the length where the quantum gravity effects are going to be important. So now I'm going to discuss the subject, the two-point function, that has the interpretation of propagation amplitudes from one point in space-time event to another. So because of we have these expressions for the fields and the evolution operator exactly, we have that this expression in these adimensional variables that are useful in order to have control in the length scales, we have this exact expression. This is an exact and closed expression, but in order to extract physical information from it, it's very useful to use asymptotic techniques. Okay, now it's a very interesting thing to represent the square value of the two-point function with respect to the distance to the axis. Okay, so what happens in the free case, this continuous long line? We start with a particle here at distance 50 and evolves until tau equals 150 is the time. So the particle, one part, goes to infinity, and this part after 150 units of time is here in 200, and we have a divergence here in the free case. And the other part goes towards the axis, pass through it, but because of we have a radial coordinate is positive always, so we have here the other divergences, the other divergence. This is for the free case. What happens when we add gravity to it? Then we see that we have a very interesting effect here. That is a very large probability to find a particle near the axis here. And this is a gravitational effect. It's not just because of the symmetry, because with the same symmetry in the free case, we don't have this effect. The other thing that we can see is that although the asymptotic expansion diverges in the boundary of the regions that are typical behavior of this kind of expansions, the numerical value, the exact value of this integral doesn't diverge. So this is another difference from the free case. So now we are interested in in half a wave functions with the true probability amplitudes in the space time. So we are looking for orthonormal basis that mimics the ordinary position eigen state in order to have our states in function of these localized states that are analogous to the Newton-Wigner ones, and we have our wave function defined in that way and is normalized to unity. These position state vectors labeled with the radial coordinate are the analogous in this case to the Newton-Wigner ones in four dimensions for quantum field theory in Minkowski space. So they are defined in that way, and this Bessel function comes just again from the cylindrical symmetry, and this factor comes from the orthogonality. So with these states, we can define our propagator in that way, and we obtain this expression, and with it, we can solve the evolution of the wave function in terms of this propagator, and we have this one. Now, this dip psi r is just the initial wave function at time zero. So if we make a specific choice of this initial wave function, we have this one, and we have chosen this one in order to have, this is the function that has a value 1 between R1 and R2 and 0 in other regions. So we have control in the width of this initial wave packet. So we can study the regimes when we are dealing with the quantum gravity effects, or when we are in the scales that we don't have these quantum gravity effects. This is just, again, from the orthogonalization. So, putting it here and the propagator, we arrive to this expression for the evolution of the wave function, again with these dimensional variables. So now it's very interesting to represent this evolution of the wave function in a density plot. We'll start with the free wave function. We have Minkowski metric, and we put the initial wave function here. One part goes to infinity, the other goes to the axis, cross the axis, and goes in that direction. We have a radial coordinate, so it comes here. And, the bright parts are large probability, the dark ones are low probability. So we have the probability to find the particle is concentrated in these regions. So somehow they are the null geodesics with this initial resolution. What happens now? If we have gravity, we have the full system. But we put the initial wave function with a wide support. So here, we expect that the quantum gravity effects are very small because we are dealing with scales much larger than the Planck length of the system. So, in fact, we see that we have a very large probability to find a particle in these regions that defines the trajectories of the trajectories of the particle that could be interpreted as the null geodesics of an emergent metric. We have, of course, these small quantum gravity effects, but we see this is a cut in tau equals 60, tau equals 100. We see that although the probability is very high in these regions, these null geodesics, these trajectories, and coincides with the free case, we have a small quantum gravity corrections in these parts outside the null geodesics. But, we recover more or less the free case behavior. What happened now if we start with an arrow support? It's expected that with an arrow support of the order of the Planck length of the system, this 4G3H-bar, we have a very big, very large quantum gravity effect. And indeed, this is the case. We see a completely different behavior of this evolution of the wave function. So, these bright regions are not real because they are just artifacts of the asymptotic expansion. We can see here, when tau equals 40, when tau equals 80, how this probability is not so big in these null geodesics. Indeed, we see the thing that we saw already for the two-point function. We have a very large probability to find the particle near the axis. And with asymptotic expansions, we can see that it decays very, very slowly with time. And we see other effect, that is that the system has memory. We can see it here, or here, or here. The system has memory of where the initial support was. It could be interpreted as the self-gravity effect, something like that, because we have put high density of matter there, or just the interpretation, but it's an effect that is happening here. The other thing is that now we have non-null geodesics at all. Okay, so just to conclude, say that there exist symmetric reaction systems like Einstein-Rosen waves that are a genuine field theory, that conserves radial diffeomorphism invariants, that can be solved exactly, and they are rich enough to display interesting behavior. We have added matter to the system, so now we have quantum fields and the particle-like excitations. We can obtain information about the metric in an operational way, as we have done with the two-point function or with the evolution of the wave function. It's possible to compute the microcausality of the system. So then we have seen how we can try to see in which regime a classical description arises with these geodesics of an emergent metric. And now we have an external proof of quantum geometry. As in classical general relativity, we have test particles to study the geodesics of the metric. We have seen some physical effects. The first one is this last probability to find the particle near the axis in the evolution of the wave function and also in the two-point function. We see also this persistence of the amplitudes in the initial support that could be interpreted as this self-gravity effect, something like that. And finally, when we go to scales larger than the Planck length of the system, we see how the null geodesics of an emergent metric appears. Finally, just to say that the system has some other physical objects that could help us to gain intuition about the full theory of quantum gravity. Thank you very much. Sorry.
Among the physical effects, you have here. And if you look at the second and the third one, then you give us some physical understanding of why something like this would happen. That in fact, non geodesics should emerge in this limit of support in Y or CLP. And in fact, if you put a lot of energy in a very small region, then some kind of things would happen in the consistency. The first one, on the central axis, seems very positive, and so is there any
heuristic or additional
understanding?
Well, we are dealing with a system with cylindrical symmetry. So we have the radial coordinate, and we have the probability that goes towards the axis. So perhaps it could be an effect.
So you might think this is cylindrical symmetry, but if you look at the free particle in the cast space, which is also the cylindrical symmetry, this is not happening. So you are
but we don't have gravity in the free case. So if we put the matter in the axis and we have gravity there, it could be an interpretation. It's just an interpretation. Without gravity, the matter has no attraction or. I'm not sure if it's possible to speak in these terms with this quantum gravity model, but the possible interpretations for these effects are.
Okay. Unless you were using the computational constructs and so you interpret them as so if you localize the wave function, you interpret it as particle. These constructs are multiple divisions of single mode excitations, or single quantum excitations in few modes that are themselves non-local in space time. So, any K mode we can talk about will have some deviation from in space time. So, there are treatments of localization for E. So, if you want to say, for example, design situation corresponding to a classical field was at contact about some away from the atmosphere with the solution. And there, quantum state can be hearsay corresponding to the field with the atmosphere. So, that's the main thing.
Okay. This is another thing, the coherent states for this system. I mean, it's possible to use, in fact, Alexander has this paper about the large quantum gravity effect. And to speak about in which ranges are possible to use the coherent states of the free Hamiltonian. But we don't have a coherent states for this system that acts in continue coherent under evolution, under the full evolution of the system. Yeah. Okay.